The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson, Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott. It's your call for the best college football coverage from National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick 6 Podcast. Oh, wait, it's not just the Pick 6 Podcast. It's also the Cover 3 Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and I'm joined by host Chip Patterson, my boy from Raleigh. It's Monday, May 10th, and we are doing a crossover pod to do a way too early 2022 NFL mock draft. Also joining us, Tom Fornelli and Ryan Wilson. I don't know how these intros are going to go, Chip. Why don't you say something, and then Tom and Ryan can chime in.
Well, I just got to start off by, it's good to be back with y'all doing this. And also, I want to let the Pick 6 audience know that one of the best things to debate, you know, once spring practice wraps up, it gets into like the real heady, we have no answers, we have no data debates. So we're going to be doing coach rankings coming up, like a whole week of ranking the top Power 5 coaches. Like, how do you rank coaches? No one ever agrees on that. Like, do you take championships into consideration? Or if they were a long time ago, yeah. Wins, fit, expectations. So that's why we're going to have a couple of episodes coming up here in just a little bit. It'll go in line with the CBSSports.com coach rankings that we always roll out every single year. So that's really exciting. We're also going to start reaching out to some insiders to do some like post spring wrap. One of the best things we have is our partners at 24/7 Sports, like boots on the ground. Like, you know, if you're only allowed to watch 15 minutes of these spring practices, 24/7 Sports is there watching at least those 15 minutes to be able to tell us whatever we can glean from that. So yeah, coach rankings, really diving deep into what we learned from these teams. I just want to make sure that, you know, Pick 6 audience is going to get a little bit more free time in their head too. So, sure. You know, come over and hang out with us on the Cover 3 Podcast.
Selling.
Yeah, selling it hard. I was going to point out, Wilson, that Ryan, that was Tom chiming in, but Ryan is, Ryan's going to be leading the schedule coverage because, you know, I'm out.
On schedule release?
Yeah, I'm out. What are we doing? It's May. Let's get out of here. Why are we releasing a schedule in May? What are we doing? Release it in April, you bleep holes.
What?
Got to dominate calendar.
Oh, God. It's so annoying. We get it.
A couple things. Number one, no one's surprised that you're going to be MIA for the schedule release. Number two, the Pick 6 listeners are already in shock that we're not babbling about nonsense. And instead, Chip has told them exactly what's going to happen over the offseason for Cover 3.
I was confused. I was like, what's Chip doing? I was like, oh, he's explaining what's going to happen instead of talking about a hypothetical tattoo or.
And number four,
Packers.
And we talked about this a little bit. I'm extremely pumped for our guy Fornelli because they finally got a quarterback in Chicago, as he noted before we went on air, that they will ruin in short order. But for now, I feel really good about it, Tom.
Yeah, Tom, open up with that, man. How you feel about Fields? Did you think it was going to be Mac Jones for a hot second? Because I did. I was like, please, Mac
Jones. I was watching it with the wife, and you know, I told her, I was like, oh, the Bears have drafted up, and she got really excited because, you know, she's like, oh, they're drafting Fields, and I told her, I was trying to be calm. I was like, no, they might take Mac Jones, and honestly, had they taken Mac Jones at 20. I'd have been fine. If they had traded up to take Mac Jones, I might have like done like an English soccer fan and stormed the stadium. But it was just, I was very excited. I'm very happy. We talked about it when I was on for the Justin Fields draft profile that I thought the Bears were going to be in play if he started to slide. And that's exactly what happened. And I think it's what they needed to do. You can't win in the NFL without a quarterback. I don't care what you have. You can have a great roster, but if you've got an average QB, you're not going to win anything.
said noted Bears historian Tom Fornelli.
The Bears have not won anything. Yes.
Right. I mean, you know, Rex Grossman had taken down Peyton Manning. Doesn't matter what Devin Hester does. By the way, Tom, pats on our backs all around. It wasn't Mac at three. It wasn't happening. No. And I actually think for that Tom and I were the impetus. The podcast, I'm dead serious. The podcast that
We know you are. This is something that you would come up with. Go ahead.
No, the podcast that Tom and I did. I mean, we were kind of just riffing on the Justin. We were doing, it was a Justin Fields prospect podcast, but the way it unfolded, we were like, this is a smokescreen by the 49ers. They're not taking, and we, you know, they didn't take Fields, obviously they took Lance, but they're not taking Mac at three. This is not happening. This is all fake news and we don't buy it. And as a result of that podcast, that's how I ended up with literally like my house on the line against like on Mac Jones over and either Lance or Fields at three. So thank you, Tom.
You, well, 49ers fans, thank you and Tom both for making sure that didn't happen because they were extremely nervous and you ruined my mock draft. So thank you for that too.
That's right. And, by the way, my wife, AK, says to tell Chip and Tom hello, not Ryan.
Hello.
Hey, AK. Tom.
Let's get to the draft. We got stuff coming up on the podcast. You should subscribe to the Pick Six podcast. It's a daily NFL show with lots of talk about football and things. We will have win totals coming up. That's my wheelhouse.
By the way, quickly before you get going, I talked to my accountant this morning, the guy who runs Breaking Bourbon. I told him, I said, oh, by the way, Brinson talked about your website for a while. I said, I would tell you the episode. I can't remember it. Please do not go way through five or six episodes trying to find it because you will kill yourself listening to all of us talk about nothing related to football. So go ahead. Sorry. Sort of get that in there.
Does Brinson want a job writing about bourbon? And also,
no, he said,
we firing up the beer blog again.
We got Chip off script already. It took 5 minutes.
I tell you what, man, you run a beer blog, you get fat real fast. Drinking free beer.
So your friend writes a bourbon blog.
It's like the number one,
the definitive bourbon website.
Bourbon. How great is
me? Jesus.
It doesn't count. If you Google basically any whiskey, you're trying to, Eric, is this a good whiskey? One of the first things that pops up is Breaking Bourbon's review of it. This guy's like a thing.
So they got in on it early, just like, you know, us as bloggers back in the day. And they sort of
the fan house of bourbon.
True. Exactly. And they parlayed that into whatever. But I don't want to sidetrack.
Four people who've been working here for 10 years say truth. Get in there early.
Imagine if you just started your own website 10 years ago. Anywho. Let's move on to the 2022 NFL draft. But we're first going to look at the 2021. Because we did this back on May 1st, 2020. Ryan still writes in the royal we, by the way.
I never switched over. I don't know why.
You're the last guy left. Will each might do it. You correctly called Trevor Lawrence number one of the Jaguars. Wow, Ryan, what an amazing feat of strength that you nailed Trevor Lawrence.
A couple things here.
Everyone is proud of you. Great job.
You tried to take credit for that, and Debo rightly slapped you across the face.
I think I was breaking bourbon and trying to be sarcastic.
And number two, as Debo likes to point out, you also had Jake Fromm going first overall in your 2019 April. Yeah, look at that face Tom just gave you.
Oh, up high, down hard.
So I'll take Trevor Lawrence. That was that's a layup, and I just made the layup, so I'll take it.
You also nailed Justin Fields. Jamar Chase. I was like, who's Chase Waddle? Jalen Waddle, Penei Sewell, Devontae Smith, Micah Parsons, and Patrick Surtain, all in your top 11. You, in your 2021 NFL way too early mock draft, had Alex Leatherwood 20. Nice job, what? Gruden.
How did I get that? How about that? Yeah, maybe that's what happened. Maybe Gruden thought he was reading my last mock draft. He read my first mock draft.
He Googled mock drafts and up came your way too early. And he's like, hey, these guys love Leatherwood.
Gruden didn't do any draft prep at all. Didn't watch any film and woke up the morning of the draft and was like, oh, man, I gotta find somebody.
Today's the draft.
We say that jokingly, but considering like the Raiders only draft players from the college football playoff national title game, are we sure that's not what happens? Or like Gruden just wakes up one January evening and is like, oh, I'm going to watch this game. Oh, I'm going to draft so many of these players.
All right.
I'm I'm sure that's wrong, Tom.
Okay, two things. Number one, I will ride for Alex Leatherwood. That is one of my top 30 favorite players in this draft class. I'm a sucker for the four-year players. I mean, Jonah Williams goes down with a knee injury at halftime against Georgia in the national championship game. True freshman Alex Leatherwood. Hey, dog, we need you to come play left tackle against one of the best defenses in the country. We're down like double digits. We got to come back. He came in and owned it. Then moves to right guard for his sophomore season, then to left tackle, dominates at left tackle the last 2 years. Like I just think that guy's a phenomenal football player. Will ride for him. And number two, David Roth made this joke. I thought it was hilarious. Of course, John Gruden is going to take an offensive lineman with the name Leather and Wood. Like he just he didn't even need to like watch any tape. He's like, Leatherwood, I like the way it sounds.
This guy's one of the toughest fellas I've ever seen in my life. A bad hombre, I'm telling you, Leatherwood. Can the Leatherwood family make up their mind? Leather or wood?
I like
that is a first-round talent. You actually had Creed Humphrey becoming a Kansas City Chief in your 2021 draft, and you had the Bears drafting a quarterback, although a year ago you had them taking Brock Purdy 14th.
That would have been awesome.
I am happier with the one they took.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy had you guys know this better than I do, had a terrible season last year. 2019, I said, okay, he could be one of these guys that maybe makes a move, and he made a move in the wrong direction. So I'm glad he came back. Also worked on Princeton. I had three guys that went undrafted in this first round back in a year ago.
You had Jamie Newman, number 8 overall? I don't know. That's a dunk.
Marvin Wilson and Dylan Moses.
Jamie Newman, talk about a guy who took an L coming back.
I don't know the circumstances by which he decided to not play, opt out, but I wish he played just to see him not play in that dumb Wake Forest offense and to also see what he could do in Georgia. And then, you know, 0-2 in terms of what of him not playing.
Don't feel too bad. I had both Tanner Morgan and KJ Costello in my two early mock drafts.
Tanner Morgan was a guy that I liked too, and he had a bad year last year as well. So hopefully he and Brock can figure it out.
Zach Wilson and Mac Jones out of nowhere. It happens every year. There's going to be somebody next year who rises out of nowhere.
I thought that was going to be Jamie Newman and Brock Purdy. Joke's on me. It was not.
Yes. Joke is on you as usual. So for the 2022 mock, there's no consensus first quarterback that is going to be taken a la Trevor Lawrence. There's not going to be probably for 5 or 10 years that Trevor Lawrence is that good. There is, however, a little fella named Sam Howell playing at the I really think at this point for Sam Howell's, I mean, he is so highly thought of that he should just sit out the year and should skip the 2022 season.
He's not that good. I'll be interested to hear what Tom and
I just want him to not play for my own self.
Oh, I see. Because I wasn't crazy.
It was a bit.
Okay, gotcha.
Go ahead. You don't like him that much.
I haven't watched a lot of them closely. I haven't watched a lot of these guys closely unless they were going to come out this year and just decided at the last moment to return to school. So I don't know a lot, but I've seen Sam Howell by watching the other players in that UNC team and seeing them play against other teams that I was watching, whether it was Clemson or whoever. So I thought he was more of a gunslinger who had a ton of weapons, but what do you guys think?
He's Baker-ish, both in like stature and kind of approach. I think there's a lot of talent there. I think that he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks taken in the draft no matter what, because I mean he was a highly rated prospect out of high school going into college. He's played very well. He did have a lot of weapons, but I do think he helped those weapons a little bit himself, and I do think that he's in an offense that's going to allow him to put up good looking numbers. I think by the time we get to next spring, the knock against him is going to be his size, because that always gets used against him. But we've seen, you know, in recent years, size is becoming less of a factor at the QB position as far as what teams really care about. So I like him. I think he's got a chance to be pretty damn good.
This is going to be fascinating, because last year the North Carolina offense was run to set up the pass. Sam Howell finished 9th in the ACC in pass attempts per game.
Wow.
In yards per attempt, 1st ahead of Trevor Lawrence, 10.3 for Howell, 9.4 for Lawrence. You lose Javonte Williams, you lose Michael Carter. They've got, I like British Brooks. He played well in the bowl game, and Ty Chandler comes in from Tennessee, but that ain't Javonte Williams and Michael Carter. So after really being able to benefit from an offense that I thought was run to set up the pass with, I mean, Deami Brown, Daz Newsome, phenomenal targets on the outside. Josh Downs is going to be your North Carolina wide receiver that you're going to want to take note of, who's going to have a big time.
Is he the tall guy?
He's going to have a big time, number 11, big time breakout season this year.
He's the big guy?
Josh Downs. How big do you think is big? You got to go with like
he looked like he was like 6'4".
This is a college football writer talking to a draft writer.
Yeah, he's not big. I would not call him the big guy. I don't have.
They had a tall weapon on the outside that I would catch my attention. Okay, yeah, I don't know the guys that aren't coming out, Brinson. I mean, I'm not.
Josh Allen's 5'10", so nothing.
Okay, not yeah, not, he's not the guy I was thinking about.
There is a big. Are you sure said that? Wasn't Des Newsome big?
Bo he's Corrales like, no, is a big old boy.
I just love the name British Brooks. Yeah. That is just a great
but
name.
Anyway.
It sounds like a radio host in Worcester, Mass.
So how this year's going to be, like, I think that there's a lot of, he will either like thrive with more responsibility or he's going to have a little bit of a heat check. So that's going to be the most interesting thing about how the next year goes for him from an NFL draft perspective.
No, that's a good point because sometimes you can go from having all those weapons and very few expectations to being overwhelmed by those expectations once the players aren't there and you're in the spotlight as a potential top five pick, and sometimes it goes sideways. So I'll be interested.
He could also play really well, but then there's enough like that gets put on tape. Again, when we talk about Sam Howell and the yardage totals that he's put up across his first two seasons, to go back and realize that he was 9th in pass attempts per game. And as many possessions as they play, as fast as they play, you wouldn't expect to see that. But it was without a doubt an offense that first wanted to let Williams and Carter get going and then open things up from there.
And Carolina was very bizarre last year in that they were a big-time second-half team. And they've kind of been that way since Matt came back. You know, they had spots where – was it last year? Maybe it was the year before where they were losing to Wake Forest – in like, you know, it badly at halftime, and then just sprinted. Wake didn't have a good defense. They just sprinted back and won the game. I think they won the game. Maybe I can't remember. But my point being is that Carolina played really, really well in the second half of games. And oftentimes, Sam Howell wouldn't have big numbers until they sort of had to uncork him because of.
Oh, freshman year, he was Mr. Fourth Quarter. Yeah, that was it. Okay, yeah, freshman year, he would like North Carolina, he would play poorly in the second quarter, and then in the fourth quarter, just like catch fire. Out. Yeah.
I like so I always talk about how Danny Kelly does shades of for his draft things because, you know, doing direct comps is just, it's not going to work out for anybody, the player, the draft analyst, whatever. Loose Baker Mayfield.
Like Tom just said.
Baker Mayfield. I like that, Tom. I like the Baker Mayfield comp. Wilson, I'm going number two to the Lions in this mock draft, by the way. Spencer Rattler, the next quarterback off the board. Oklahoma Spencer Rattler, number 8 to the Washington football team. Wilson, how'd you decide on that one?
I'm a couple things to note. This is a mock draft in which it should probably be better served calling it a players to watch list because mock drafts at this point are insane. And there's no Chase Young or Bosa Brothers or Trevor Lawrence to sort of top the draft board. So I'm just basically throwing darts. I'll be honest with you.
All right.
But Spencer Rattler is a guy who.
How about I ask this instead? Tom, is Ryan stupid for having Spencer Rattler 8th overall to Washington?
There you go.
No, but I'm probably also the wrong person to ask because as Chip can attest to, I am currently on the Spencer Rattler's not even the best quarterback on Oklahoma train.
Ooh, love it.
Caleb Williams.
Yeah. Wow. Incoming freshman Caleb Williams, I think, is a better quarterback than Rattler. But that's not to say that Rattler isn't a good NFL first down type of quarterback because, as we're seeing in college these days, every single good quarterback goes to one of five schools anyway, and they're all on the same school until one of them has to transfer. I like Rattler. I think that Rattler, as far as the pedigree of the offense he's in and what Lincoln Riley has helped develop with quarterbacks, with Baker Mayfield, with Kyler Murray, what he helped do for Jalen Hurts' NFL draft stock, I think that Rattler is a guy that's going to improve, and we could easily see him being like the Heisman winner in 2021. So it wouldn't shock me at all if he's
is there any way here. Tom, that he doesn't start or he loses his job?
Oh no, he's gonna okay. Have the job. I think that Caleb Williams is gonna sit this year, and the plan there is Rattler's gonna leave and then Williams steps in and is ready
and it's gonna be better
and then he'll be better. Yeah, and I do think that if Rattler got hurt, I don't know if he'd get the job back.
Little JT Daniels situation.
Spencer Rattler is a player who I think is going to end up with a higher NFL draft position than necessarily I personally like him, like in my sort of like my own flavor of the quarterback, because the Oklahoma wide receiver room is absolutely stacked, even more so, that like much deeper than it was with Jalen Hurts. as deep as it was with Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield. And so I think the numbers are just going to be ridiculous. And that is going to fuel the Heisman train, which is going to fuel the NFL draft machine. But at the same time, it's like the kind of player who, even if you talk to some Oklahoma fans, they would be like, yeah, I mean, he's good, but, you know, and then just sort of have like a list of complaints. Now, he could show a lot of growth, but I do think that the way that last season went for him had enough flashes of some really frustrating and confounding play that if that's not totally ironed out, it's still going to pop up from time to time. And that's where you're going to love him for what he can do for you, but we'll see. He's still got some development left, and the book on him goes two ways. There's the first side that is very promotional, and obviously from people who love Rattler, who say he had such a good attitude coming in, and Jalen Hurts was there, and he just said he wanted to learn, you know, and he really sat there and he really soaked it all up. And then there's another side that's like, yeah, I don't even know if Rattler's the best quarterback in that room. Like, Tom's kind of like on that kick, but there's also there also definitely seems to be a little bit of skepticism around how much of a complete and like truly dominant player he is.
Yeah. So I was just going to say quickly, so full disclosure, in case that this wasn't clear, I haven't watched these guys closely just because they weren't in the mix. But one of the things sort of following up what you said, Chip, is that Rattler is cocky or arrogant. Is that at all a concern from where you guys are watching?
I don't think, I try not to, that's why I said the book on him goes two ways, because I've heard people close to the program that are promoting this like team first, you know, kind of narrative. And then you also hear the other side of it. And I'm willing to give enough grace and enough room for, I don't know, aging, maturity, like just figuring out how to iron out things and figuring out how to take care of your business. It's unique that he's the only one of these quarterbacks that Lincoln recruited right out of high school. You know, so maybe these other players came in having learned some lessons along the way that made him be a little bit of a better fit.
I hope he is cocky and arrogant. I don't want a quarterback that isn't.
Moxie Mayfield was when we initially came up with the Moxie.
I mean, yeah, there's, but I mean, even, just look at Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. They're not exactly, you know, like.
And John Breach's defense, Andy Dalton.
QB1.
I'll be an Oklahoma quarterback. You got Baker, Kyler, Hurts, you're following you, Spencer, and also your name, Spencer Rattler. Like,
it's a good name.
It's a great name. Great name.
How does he not have a snake tattoo on his arm?
He's the Varsity Blues like opposing quarterback.
Yes.
Yes. He's the villain. He comes off looking like the quarterback of the team that my high school is playing.
Or like when you think of like Friday Night Lights, when they would make like the names that they would come up with, you'd be like, Voodoo Tatum, come on. That's not a real name. And then in real life, there's Spencer Rattler.
It is. It sounds like a fake Friday Night Lights name. That's good. The
Key and Peele touchdown dance, guys.
Mm-hmm. You know what you can't make up, though, is Keaton Slovis. You had him going number 9 to the Raiders. Wilson, the USC quarterback. Is Tom, is USC good enough for, I just assume USC is going to be hyped up before the season.
It's a trick question.
I mean, I don't know. USC, Clay Helton, what are we doing here, pal?
I mean, USC is good enough from a talent perspective.
Right. They'll finish 24th or something in the final poll and beat some.
Like, they'll lose a game they're not supposed to lose because of their coaching, and they'll win a bunch of other games. But no, Kenan Slovis is going to be really interesting this year.
Keaton. Yeah.
Is it Keaton?
I think
I've always called him Kadan.
I know. I just let it fly.
I mispronounce everything, so I just assumed that Tom was right.
I love Kadan. I'm going to start calling him Kadan.
Call him Kadan.
Will he be a Keaton or Kadan? It's going to be interesting to find out in 2021 because, like, last year, and it's weird because with the college season last year, it's hard to know what to take seriously and what not, just because, especially in the Pac-12, with like the way that they had to deal with their season being postponed and the weird ramp up to it. But to me, last year, he didn't look healthy.
Right.
And his arm strength was kind of sapped because this is a kid as a freshman who played so well that JT Daniels, who was one of the top, you know, QB rank in that class with Fields and Lawrence, transferred to Georgia because he knew he wasn't going to get that starting gig back. And Slovis last year, I think the defense is adjusted, as you see with, you know, air raid teams. Like you saw it, Chip, you mentioned it, like that BYU game. Everybody just starts dropping 8 back. That was in 2019. Everybody was doing that last year, and he had to adjust, and he was trying to force some things. And I don't think he had the zip on his ball that he had in his freshman year. So this is going to be a really interesting season for me for Slovis for as far as his NFL draft future, just seeing how he adjusts to the way defenses are playing with him and seeing if he's healthy.
I was just going to say quickly, I think the elbow injury was something that affected his confidence. And the thing that blew me away about him the year before, freshman year, he outplayed Justin Herbert in that USC-Oregon game. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even close. Justin Herbert got hot in the second half. But the first 30 minutes, it was all Keaton Slovis, which, you know, left an impression on me. So I know he can play at that level. But we see quarterbacks all the time, especially early in their career, go off and then they sort of regress to mediocrity. So I think you're right, Tom. I think the injury is probably weighing on him. If he's healthy, I think we'll see a different quarterback.
Did you get that? Confidence is a word that he's used. Los Angeles Times had a breakdown of all the at the end of spring practice, and he said that Slovis has even been talking to reporters, admitting that he's been trying to work on his confidence. It was something that he knew was not all there. He's trying to recapture his form. He's trying to get everything back together. And listen, when you look at that like wide receiver room, you got pros there. I mean, it is going to be very, very easy for him to, if he gets everything rolling, rise up the draft board just because of the way that USC team is built. They're not incredibly deep. Like if they all of a sudden start getting some injuries, then it could be difficult. But Drake London, not Amon-Ra St. Brown, was the leading receiver on that team last year. Brew McCoy, former five-star player who's been trying so hard to get healthy. A lot of people are expecting a big breakout from him. Gary Bryant Jr. is absolutely terrifying in the slot. And they've got a guy named, I don't know if he's Michael Jackson Jr. or Michael Jackson III. And as somebody with a suffix, I'm very concerned that we get this right. But I love USC's wide receivers, and especially in the air raid system. I like, if Slovis gets his swag back, he's going to be great. But if he gets a little banged up, he might get Wally Pipped by his backup, a guy named Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart. Spencer Rattler, the names of these quarterbacks are amazing.
If I'm Keaton or Kadon or Keto or whatever his name is, Slovis, I am petrified of a guy named Jackson Dart Linger.
His name's Keaton Slovis. He's doing okay.
Keaton Slovis sounds like the guy running a poker room at a Czechoslovakian like bar in down Midtown New York.
Nah, Keaton Slovis is 6'2 and beautiful. He's fine. Like the thing is like he should be able to get this confidence back. Just look in the mirror, Keaton. Come on, baby. Just do it.
Also, that's a red flag. If you're 6'2 and beautiful and the quarterback at Southern Cal, and you're lacking confidence?
I think you can admit to like
need for confidence.
I like it if you're gonna admit like, yeah, like, and confidence can be like knowing the right throw. I mean, it's your decision making within the system. So I appreciate him at least like letting us in, because like Tom said, he didn't look right. And that actually adds some context that it's like, okay, you weren't right. You know, you've got stuff that you're working on that has made it be different than the results that we saw from you as a freshman.
And I'm obviously kidding. It's if you can say any, if you're lacking confidence after the last year, that's anybody can be lacking confidence.
Especially if you have an arm injury you're trying to come back from.
Also, if you know, not really on campus anymore. So, you know, sort of lose your.
USC also did go 5-0 in the regular season. Only lost in the Pac-12 championship game. Shut it down. Did not play a bowl game. Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it. I watched it on television because it was 2020. But Malik Willis out of Liberty. You have him going number 10 to the Panthers, Wilson. A little short drive. It's a short drive, I think. Tom, is there a chance that Malik Willis ends this season as the number one quarterback in this draft?
Ooh-wee.
A chance? Yeah. But I think Malik Willis is more likely to be the Jamie Newman of this. Ooh. Than
boy, that's a slap in the face.
Here's the thing, and this is probably like, this is one of those situations where I might be too close to the situation to really see the bigger picture, but I think of Malik Willis and I think of the guy who couldn't beat out Bo Nix at Auburn, and yikes. I don't like Bo Nix in the slightest. Like, I've been
Bo Nix. Seth Williams and Anthony Schwartz hate Bo Nix as well.
Exactly. I've been dogging Bo Nix for the last few years, so it's hard for me to get over that. But at the same time, maybe Malik Willis's arm was just too strong for what Chip refers to as Gus Malzahn's pop gun offense. But like, I look at Malik Wilson, he does have a big arm, but I see like a Zach Wilson kind of situation here where it's like, I get it. I like the tools. I understand what people do like about him. But like, did we pay attention to who Liberty played last year?
Like, yeah.
It was what?
It's pulled up right now.
Like, played Syracuse.
Yeah, Syracuse had like literally their entire defense opted out. Syracuse was pretty much using walk-ons and like media students, broadcast students to play in the secondary. Everybody was tearing them apart. Like, and you see the games against NC State. He really struggled. 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Against Coastal, another top defense. 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So he did complete like 66% of his passes. Virginia Tech he played pretty well against, but Virginia Tech wasn't really the Virginia Tech we're used to, and they were missing Caleb Farley. So that secondary was hurting last year. And then as far as the other games, Western Kentucky, FIU, North Alabama, ULM, Southern Miss, Western Carolina, UMass. These are like some of the worst teams at the FBS level. So I think this is going to be a very important season for Malik Willis against hopefully stiffer competition to really show us what he's got.
Yeah, 2 touchdowns.
I'm not going to chime in and say that Tom can't recognize an elite defense when he sees one in Raleigh. That's fine.
I mean, I think it's 2 touchdowns and 5 interceptions against the toughest defenses he played. Coastal Carolina and NC State were the toughest defenses he played. Virginia Tech was ravaged by COVID availability issues all season, and they kind of mailed in that game just a little bit. But like Zach Wilson, he struggled against San Diego State. He struggled against Coastal Carolina. You know, you start to connect these dots, and this is, listen, the Cover 3 listeners right now, I'm not going to harp on it too long, but I'd like to see you play well against your best competition. Arm talent be damned.
Hugh Freeze QBs tend to put up numbers.
Swag Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Does Hugh Freeze have anybody who's gone to the NFL level?
Well, I mean, wasn't Kelly there for a hot sec?
Until he crashed that Halloween party and fell on somebody's couch drunk or whatever he was on.
Which time?
No, you know that was like last year, right? Or it was 2019. It wouldn't have been 2020. He's not
called Chill Kelly, boys. He's called Swag Kelly for a reason. That's right.
They had a Broncos team Halloween party, and Kelly afterwards left. He was dressed up like a cowboy, maybe, which makes total sense. And busted into some random house and passed out on their couch. It came out and Chad Kelly, Swag Kelly's in a cowboy outfit, asleep on the couch. Desmond Ridder, the other quarterback in Wilson's first round mock, 26 overall to the Denver Broncos. You buying or selling Desmond Ridder's a first round pick, Tom?
Right now, I kind of buy it.
I like that better than Malik. Okay, good. I want to hear this. Go for it.
I think like Desmond was really impressive last year, and he was somebody who coming into the season, looking at Cincinnati, I was like, Desmond Ridder, watching him his freshman year, I was like, okay, this is a kid who can run. You ask him to throw, there's really nothing there, but he really took a huge leap into 2020 where I don't think he's got an elite arm. I don't think he has a great arm, but I think he's got enough of a blend of both his legs and his arm. And he was really used well in that offense for what his strengths are. That this is a guy where I think now there's actual projection to it. And if we see that same kind of improvement in 2021, I think that this is a kid that could be a first round. I think that he's probably more likely to be a second or third round guy, but I see first round potential here very well, especially because, you know, it's the quarterback position. Teams are always going to be reaching on him as it is.
So you feel better about Des Ridder now or Jamie Newman a year ago at this time?
Des Ridder.
Oh, okay.
I felt better about Newman a year ago than I do about Ridder now, but I echo you, Tom, that I feel so much better about Ridder than I did 1 year ago. And there was all this, he was hurt. He was hurt the whole season. He never really got to go, and he had a full season of health, and it was absolutely fantastic. If you're watching right now on YouTube, you can see it. And that run from about the SMU game on through maybe the ECU game, they had done it. They're like, Desmond Ridder's running and passing performance over this 4-game span is the best 4-game span for a quarterback running and passing since Lamar Jackson. Like we like love game notes when it's like Desmond Ridder, basically Lamar Jackson, according to this 4-game sample size. But I will take small sample size jokes aside, like he was really, really good last year. And I don't think that Cincinnati, we're talking about a lot of these quarterbacks, and I immediately start to talk about the skill positions. I don't think that they're like super elite at the skill positions. So he does have to make a lot of things happen within the context of that offense. And I think he does a good job of it.
I will say one concern though, is like in that Sugar Bowl against Georgia, which was far and away the best defense he faced. He didn't turn the ball over, but his yards per attempt dropped to 5.6 in the game. And he's rushing wise, he wasn't really able to do anything. That said, That was a very good Georgia defense. So I don't want to hold that too much against him.
Chip, I like how Chip accidentally dragged. It's definitely a CBS Sports Network crew that was putting up those graphics on, like, because that's, I mean, right? Cincinnati's always.
No. Game notes. I'm talking about because the SIDs.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, you know, I've got to write a lot of how to watches during the week. You know, we got to do a lot of how to watch posts. And those game notes really, really come through to be able to give you the storylines for how to watch posts.
We've really, how to watch
those are. Those are really artistically fulfilling to write.
It makes you think to yourself, wow, I'm glad I've chosen this profession, this vocation in my life.
Yeah.
Which, I can write how to watch.
Thank you, SIDs. I love all of the factoids. I need them. They fulfill me.
SIDs are basically writing those how to watches. By the way, I don't know if you...
By the way, this is the difference between Chip and you. Like, Chip finds the positives in how to watches, and you're like, F the how to watches. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Speaking of impressive performances, man, what a deep and rich prospect profile that was on CBSSports.com of Desmond Ridder. The headshot, the deep game logs, the notes. Oh my goodness, why would you not dive into that? Anywho, let's take a break. I don't know why I'm dragging, just firing shots off it. Whatever. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk. We'll discuss whether or not the defensive prospects in this class are worthy of top picks.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So in Wilson's mock draft, you have Kayvon Thibodeau. That's the name I get right. That's the name I can't screw up. It's amazing somehow. Kayvon Thibodeau going number one overall to the Houston Texans out of Oregon. I don't understand how he's not a player for LSU, but I will go with it. Huh. And Derek Stingley.
Mario Cristobal, that's how.
What's that?
I said Mario Cristobal, that's how. Hmm.
And Derek Stingley going number three overall. Cornerback third overall would be pretty shocking, but Stingley has been a guy, Tom, that is Wilson writes here on NFL radar since his freshman season. Are these the top two defensive prospects in this draft class?
I think right now, yeah. I think I was actually kind of mad at you, Wilson, when I saw your first mock head Thibodeau on there, because I thought it was hot takey when I was on the Cover 3 podcast saying that he's going to be the first non-QB taken first overall since Myles Garrett. Because I honestly, going in, and again, like you said earlier, at this point of the year, you don't really know. But
no idea.
Going at this point of the year for me, I think he's the best player in college football.
Oh, there we go. Good.
I think that as the season goes on, because he's been really good his freshman year, he's really good his sophomore year. Although, again, Oregon, I think, played like 5 games. The Pac-12 was just dumb. So it's hard to really get a read on it. But I think giving him a full season, this is the year where he's really going to explode. And it's hard for him because he plays at Oregon to become like a national name, because Oregon games aren't on in the middle of the afternoon on ABC or on CBS. They're on late at night and nobody gets to watch them. So I think that this is the year where he's really going to explode on the scene nationally, and people are going to start realizing who he is, because this kid's a monster. Like, he is a tremendous defensive end. He is exactly who teams are looking for as far as that edge rusher that you need to get after quarterbacks these days. He checks every single box there is, and I think that he's going to be the number one pick in the draft next year.
I think he would have been the first edge rusher taken this year, assuming Jalen Phillips' medicals, everyone wasn't happy with him. I think he would have been number one there.
Oh, God, yeah. I don't even think there would have been a question. He'd have been a top five pick this year.
Right.
Yeah, agree. I mean, he's the Leo meme. You just point. Like, you, as soon as the ball is snapped, you can immediately see, like, him coming off the edge. It's terrifying.
And I just wish I could have watched, like, practices of him going against Penei Sewell.
I will say this. People were knocking Elijah Barrett Tucker for his performance against Thibodeau. I thought, actually, ABT did pretty well.
Decent. Yeah.
I thought so, too. I was impressed because he's a guard by nature. He has short arms or whatever the complaints are. And he kicked out. I thought he did a really good job playing left tackle, and I thought he did well in that game.
What about Stingley, Chip? I mean, this guy, I mean, like, by the way, talk about names. Derek, I mean, like Stingley.
Wish he was a safety, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. It just seemed, what if you put him in Pittsburgh and he's the only guy who wears the B uniforms?
That would be awesome. And change his name, first name to Crusher. Crusher Stingley Jr.
Crusher Stingley.
Smash
Stingley.
I think that he could use some. Remember, new defensive coordinator last year, Bo Pelini, and it worked out so well they fired him after just 1 year. You know, so like it was, we should take that into consideration as context for why Derek Stingley, you know, didn't dominate as much last season, but he could use a good year. He could use a good year. I think LSU fans would like to see him finish his career. He doesn't necessarily need to play right at the level he was when he was one of the best, when he was one of the best pro prospects as a, like, to your point, you'd look at that, on the SEC on CBS, that was the, you know, LSU championship run. And you would be like, man, that is the best future pro on the field. I think that, you know, if he can be fully healthy through the season, I think he could use a good season to be able to anchor this. But even still, I mean, he's got all the pieces.
Hey, Chip, let me ask you this, because Stingley played with Christian Fulton and Grant Delpit, and I thought Stingley was better than both those guys who were right. Second-round picks. Is there any feeling after a down year last year? This isn't a Sean Wade situation, right?
I don't think so. I even think that Sean Wade probably got hurt by the Big Ten delayed season.
And he moved from inside to outside where he just got routinely torched.
Got cooked. Absolutely cooked. I mean, that playoff, like some of those playoff footages, I mean, were bad for him.
That's the Jonah Hill gif. You're like doing cut.
Yeah.
There's so much like off the field stuff too with LSU last year. Like, not, you know, it's like Bo Pelini was a disaster, obviously, on the defensive side for them as far as schematically, but it was just like that was a locker room that I think kind of checked out really quickly and really early in the year. Like, there was, you know, the defense, I don't think, trusted its coach. I don't think the entire locker room trusted its head coach. There was just a lot of weird kind of stuff going on in that locker room.
You mean it's weird for Terrace Marshall to opt out right before the Alabama game and he's trying to get drafted? That's weird.
Exactly. So, like, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there that it's, I think this is a big year for Stingley. And I think that, I mean, talent wise, I would agree with you. He was probably, like, in that secondary a few years ago, which is filled with NFL players, I thought he was the most talented one.
I mean, it's way too early to be talking about this, but is this draft class kind of meh?
I think we need to wait for the Zach Wilsons and Mac Jones of the world to show themselves, and then, because that is what everything will revolve around. Because no one's going to get excited outside of us four talking about Thibodeau going first overall. I think that's what the NFL is looking for.
Well, I mean, just looking through your mock draft, and again, I mean, obviously things can change. People are going to be at football games this year. There's going to be more scouting. I would assume too that like some of these guys that are going to pop up on the radar haven't popped yet because of the 20, you know, there's a lack of people at 2020 football games. You know, like some of these names that are on the NFL radar will be more prominent moving forward. But really, the first skill position guy you have going is Chris Olave, the Ohio State wide receiver at 13th overall. Tom, do you think there's any chance that we see? I don't want to insult Wilson's mock draft here, but is there any way that this is grounded in any form or fashion of reality?
No, it's a player to keep an eye on. So no, it's not. But go ahead, Tom.
That's a mock draft. We're going to hold you to it.
I mean,
you don't want to be for Jake Fromm. I will murder you after it's wrong.
Right. I have great news and horrible news for you. The great news is you don't have to write another mock draft until next spring. I'm absolving you of that. The bad news is you got to stick with the one you put out. But I think
ALC on Friday's podcast, Jason Lockenfora issued a ruling as close super, not quite a full super friend, but a friend of the super friends. He said that if Wilson gets four mock drafts deep before Breach submits the tattoo drawing for Wilson's Ryan Finley tattoo, that it is now on Breach. Breach has to get the tattoo. So Wilson, you might want to get mocking, buddy.
I gotcha. That's the motivation for Breach to get getting. Breach. All right, go ahead, Tom.
Kicker videos on YouTube.
naked.
I mean, it's weird because we're going to see guys emerge, like Ryan was just saying. So the receiver class, I don't think has the same kind of sex appeal that this year's receiver class did. But I think that that's because this was a truly special and unique kind of receiver class. As far as Chris Olave at number 13, I'm not sure. I don't think Olave is the best receiver on Ohio State. I think Garrett Wilson is.
Ooh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, I like Olave.
I like Olave too, but I think that's the whole point of Ohio State's receiving corps. They are the Alabama this year. Their entire wide receiver unit is just ridiculous from top to bottom, and I think that's going to show up as the season goes on. I like Wilson being somebody who climbs his way into the top 10. I still think Olave could be a top 15, maybe even a top 10 pick, depending on how that goes. I think that Ohio State's going to have two receivers taken in the first round, probably the first 20 picks next year.
Agree. 100%.
Wilson, hey, let me ask you this. A name that kept popping, and I haven't watched him yet, but I've heard that Treylon Burks is the best wide receiver in college football.
Ooh, I would say probably Garrett Wilson gets my nod there. Treylon Burks is probably one of the most proven and sure thing wide receivers in the SEC. I'll give you that, but I'm not necessarily ready to put him up against either of those two Ohio State wide receivers or... And I'm kind of waiting to see which of the group pops for Oklahoma. And this isn't necessarily NFL draft, but there's still a couple of potentials there. Jaden Hazelwood is the one everyone's super excited about. And I think Hazelwood might be a third-year player, so maybe he flashes and just ends up bouncing. Did
Rambo come back too?
Charleston Rambo's at Miami.
At Miami.
Oh, okay.
And he's going to have a big year with Derek King.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also, it's...
Do you think you automatically get drafted if your name is Rambo? It feels like anyone...
You should be, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Again, Voodoo Tatum. Who the hell has that name? Charleston Rambo.
Rambo.
I think another name to keep an eye on, too.
You conceived like while your parents were watching Rambo and Charleston?
Too much information.
Who drew first? Never mind. I think another name to keep an eye on, he got injured, so it's a question of whether how healthy he's going to be for the season. But George Pickens is a very talented receiver coming off. He's got injured ACL right now. If he's able to get on the field this fall for a decent amount of time, I think in that offense with JT Daniels, that's a name that could emerge as a first-round pick. Or it could be a situation not all that dissimilar from Ja'Marr Chase where he opts out of the season because of that injury and just decides to start getting ready for the draft.
What do you guys think of Justin Ross? Because neck injury, that's a huge concern. He was on the first-round radar until, obviously, he got injured. He's coming back. What can we expect? Is this going to be 50% Justin Ross, 95% Justin Ross?
So he's moving to a new... When it was him and T. Higgins, they just had them both lined up on the outside. And because you trusted Trevor Lawrence, he would just chuck up 50-50 balls because you've got like pro, and it would work against most ACC defenses. The word coming out of Clemson is that as he's making his return, he's got a big doctor's appointment coming up in June that's going to end up deciding whether or not he's going to be ready to go for fall camp. But in spring practice, he was going through some drills, and they're going to put him at slot. They're going to put a JoJo and Joseph Nagata, like all these like big old Cadillacs on the outside, and they're going to let Justin Ross at 6'3 cook from the slot. I mean, DJ Uiagalelei is just going to have wealth of options in that Clemson passing attack. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And since they lose Travis Etienne, and I like a couple of the running backs that are coming up behind them, but I don't necessarily feel confident in them, I think that we see a lot more short pass, like, you know, pass as an extension of the run game type situation for DJ and for Clemson. I also mentioned, I said his name earlier, Drake London, USC. I think Drake London, USC could end up being like right there in that top wide receiver discussion.
It's really exciting that Clemson is the new Alabama. It's just thrilling. Like, it's just like, oh, look, you lose Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, Amari Rodgers. Oh, what's that? We have a five-star quarterback, a five-star wide three, like a 6'3 slot guy.
That's just what Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State do now.
Yeah, Dabo Sweeney is from Alabama, and he is the walking embodiment of Rudy the movie. So I think that's sort of his.
And also, point. Clemson's defense is the best thing about it.
Hey, let me ask you guys this quickly, because I know you guys have to go do your own podcast. Right. Last thoughts on John Mechie. Like, is he going to be legit, or is he a sort of a Terrace Marshall type who's just living, riding on the coattails, perceivably, of, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson and LSU?
I don't know yet. I think that there's definitely probably he did benefit, obviously, from being in that offense with those guys. But he still played well even after Jalen Waddle went down and he had to take on a large role as the number two.
Oh, that sounds like Mac Jones. But go ahead.
Yeah, but I do think it will be interesting if he is the number one guy. It will be interesting seeing if he's able to put up those kind of numbers. And I think it's also hard to really know with Alabama this year, too, because they are going from Steve Sarkisian to Bill O'Brien as their offensive coordinator. So we don't know exactly what the offense is going to look like, because I do think that Steve Sarkisian did an amazing job getting his guys open last year.
Ajay Hall, I think, might end up being the best wide receiver for Alabama this year, not John Mechie. That doesn't mean that he won't get drafted, doesn't mean that he won't be a good pro prospect, but I think the young ones are the ones I'm more excited about in terms of actually being difference makers. And Jaleel Billingsley is
he's a name to know.
That's that's Tom's guy right there. So
he's a Kyle Pitts tight end, and that he's not there to be playing tight end.
Yeah,
correct. So he's not there to block anybody.
Right. So when you've got all these other talented pieces, the little, and I don't even know if John Mechie's like all that little, but he seems diminutive sometimes compared to the rest of his Alabama teammates. I don't know if the little Canuck is going to end up being the alpha in that room.
Is he Canadian?
Yeah.
I will say something that could be somewhat of an indicator there too is Ohio State. Jameson Williams was a highly rated receiver who had originally went to Ohio State. He just transferred out and he went to Alabama. So if he's leaving Ohio State for Alabama, that might tell us that Alabama feels like it has a bigger need at that position. And also he feels like there's a clearer path to playing time.
Yeah.
Alabama.
Good point.
That's a great point. You don't leave Ohio State as a wide receiver and go to Bama. Yeah. I mean,
if you're looking for playing time and then going to Alabama, it kind of like raises an eyebrow.
Right. Is it, and I know you guys have to go, but I'm curious, do you think that the sort of lack of wide receiver, is it possible that the last 2 years we've had just this flood of good wide receivers coming to the NFL from college? And as a result, are there less great wide receivers at college? Like, are we just due for a year where there's just not as many, or is it more of a COVID, you know, we didn't maybe don't know all these names quite yet situation?
It's probably a combination of all those factors. I don't think we're going to see the end of this wave of receivers anytime soon, because I think that as the offenses evolve across all levels of football and just as the way the game evolves, that receivers are becoming more and more important. So you're going to see more and more your best athletes are being put at receiver. And I think that we're going to see it. Now, will every class be as good as maybe the last class or last two classes were? I don't know, but I still think we're going to be seeing solid receiver classes year after year.
I mean, Kayshawn Boutte at LSU, like it might be cyclical, like based on recruiting and draft classes, and we might see a little single year dip, but there were players who were freshmen and sophomores this past season in college football that I think are going to end up showing out, such that even if it's a 1 year dip, the receiver class of 2023 is going to be absolutely loaded.
All right. Good stuff. Go check out Ryan Wilson's way too early 2022 mock draft. He has guaranteed us that he will get at least 78% of the prospects in the first round correct, or he will get a cover three podcast tattoo on his buttocks.
Yes. You guys get to pick the cheek.
Live on YouTube. Yeah.
You get to pick the cheek.
Tom, so anyway, go listen to the Cover 3 podcast with Chip and Tom and Danny Cannell. And Bud, too.
Yeah, no, we are the only podcast at CBS with our own coaching tree. So step your game up.
Mm-hmm. Hey, anchor down, baby.
Let's go.
Let's go. We stand for Vandy in this house.
have a lawyer. Brinson, you got to point out we have a lawyer now.
But we have a lawyer?
No, Sean? He doesn't count. Yeah, he's not a lawyer. He's a lawyer. Why would anybody ever want to claim Sean?
Sean's going to end up like interning for Clay Travis at Layout Kick or whatever, the Fox like Bradoff will be.
Like, seriously, who goes from blogger to lawyer? It's supposed to be lawyer to blogger. What the hell is Sean doing?
Yeah, what you right. do is you have your failed legal career and quit it to write about sports for no money. You don't write about sports for no money and then go try to have a failed legal career. It's backwards.
Yeah,
kids, but it's these days.
His dad's bankrolling him, so that's how.
Oh. All right. Anyway, you guys have to go podcast with Danny and Bud. Tell them we said hello. Keep up the great work on Cover 3. Oh, and this isn't the Cover 3 podcast. Thanks for listening to both.
Yeah, it's both of us
podcasts. I don't know where I am, Chip. I'll see you tonight.
All right.
I would say hi to Sean, except we all know he's watching Star Wars.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.